your bank account is close to red. You want to cry yourself to bed. It could be worse, you could be dead. Remember what I said, stay positive. When the folks next door have a bigger home, a nice sports car and a garden gnome, wow. Your minivan has zero chrome. You're blessed with what's your own. Stay positive.
Well, I don't know about you. I love that song and I cannot get it out of my head. It just kind of rolls and rolls and rolls. I do want to welcome all of our churches all over the country, all of our network churches all over the world, our family at Church Online. We love you and we're very, very grateful for you. We are in part two of a six-part message series called Stay Positive. One thing I'm very positively excited about is all of you who are now participating in discussion groups. This is the second week. We're at the very beginning of a message series. If you're not yet in a discussion group, your pastor can tell you more about how to get involved. We believe with all of our hearts that life change happens better in circles than it does in rows. And so I would love for you to consider just for a few weeks gathering together, talking about what God is showing you, and we're gonna stay positive as we do. Now, I wonder how many of you would be like me, and I don't wanna be negative, but if I'm honest, I'm kind of getting tired of all the negativity I see all over the world. How many of you say you kind of agree? It's just amazing to me how everywhere, all the time, it seems like people want to be critical, want to pick things apart, want to find what's wrong instead of seeing what's right. Complaining is almost an art form now. Some people, I would argue, almost have the spiritual gift of complaining. You can find anything to complain about. I don't know about where you live and your part of the country, but where I live, people complain about the weather all the time. It's too hot. Soon it'll be too cold. It was too dry. Then it was too wet. Sometimes it's too humid. I wonder, honestly, like in Southern California, if people complain because it's too perfect. It's gorgeous again today. I'm sick of it. It's 72 and gorgeous every single day because people can complain about almost anything. Let me ask this. All of our churches, would you participate? How many of you would say, honestly, it's no fun without you. Participate, please. How many of you say, honestly, you're probably an above average driver? Raise your hands. Raise them up. Leave them up for a second, okay? Herein lies the problem when the majority of people believe they're an above average driver, right? Because then it gives you the right to complain about everybody else. That idiot, too fast, too slow, just rolled that stop sign. They drive me crazy. I mean, I am the worst of the worst about complaining about all of you. I mean, honestly, at our church, we may have all the above average drivers. It's those other churches where the bad drivers actually exist. I don't know. I mean, we can complain about, it's funny, you go to a fast food restaurant, you walk up, someone else serves you. They cook your food. They bring it out to you. And it takes over 3.5 minutes. And we are livid. I cannot believe how long it took them to make my burger and fries. Man, I'm just standing there doing nothing for 3.5 minutes. We complain about all sorts of things. There are people who drive their cars up to their houses, push a button, a door opens. They drive their car into a protected environment, close the door by the push of a button, complain at the bad gas mileage their car gets, walk into a controlled environment with air conditioning, open up a refrigerator full of food, complain because there's nothing to eat, turn on the television with 112 stations and complain there's nothing to watch. Help me, they go into their closet, they touch all their clothes, and what do they say? I've got nothing to wear. Okay, it's amazing how blessed we can be and yet how ungrateful we often are. I'll be very honest with you, and I'll just tell you like it is. By nature, I'm not naturally a grateful person. I mean, I'll just tell you, by nature, I want more, I want better, I want faster, and I want it now. And that's why with everything in me, quite honestly, I am pursuing a heart of gratitude. In fact, I've done quite a bit of research on this, And I found that gratitude, many experts say, is the value that unlocks so many other positive values. Gratitude makes you generous. Gratitude makes you encouraging. Gratitude makes you thankful. Gratitude unlocks so many other positive qualities that I'm asking God to transform my heart from one that is often entitled to one that is by nature more grateful. The tragedy is, for many people, they never will experience a true heart of gratitude. And I want to show you from a very interesting story in Luke's gospel, Luke 17, starting in verse 11, and we'll read on through this story. We see a description of some lepers who encountered Jesus, and we actually see tragically a lack of gratitude. Here's how Luke reports the story. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, help me out, how many people had leprosy? All of our churches, how many? 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, when we read this, it's easy just to kind of go, yeah, and keep on reading. But what we have to understand is that from the depths of their heart, they were crying out for help more than you can ever comprehend. If you read the Old Testament, Leviticus 13 teaches what a leper had to do. A leper had to tear his or her clothes so people would see from a distance that they had leprosy. They had to always cover their mouths so they wouldn't infect anybody. They were not allowed to keep their hair. They had to have their hair look bad, and I don't know why, but they did. And then they always had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." When anyone else was approaching, they would say, "Unclean, unclean." Just like my wife Amy requires me after a workout when I come in to say, "I stink, I stink." And that's really true. So she doesn't accidentally get too close to my nauseating smelling leprosy, okay? So a leper would have all of this pressure and social rejection. On top of that, their body would literally be oozing with sores. And this is very disgusting, but it's very, very true. They could literally be asleep at night and have a pinky finger or a toe gnawed off by a rat. And I know that's gross, but this is actually the way it was. You can only imagine the devastation if you think for years, not having any intimacy with anybody else, not having someone even to give you a hug. And so when they see Jesus, the hope that perhaps he could heal them, I mean, we're talking from the depths of their hearts, they're crying out, "Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Okay? Verse 14 says this, "When Jesus saw them, he said, 'Go show yourself to the priests.' Now, as they went," this is a miracle from heaven. The Bible says they were cleansed. How many of them, would you all of you say it aloud? We say it aloud. How many? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Luke pointed this out because it would have been really odd for a Samaritan to interact with a Jewish person, and this is even taking it to a whole nother level of gratitude. Jesus asked, verse 17, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" 10 lives were miraculously transformed. I'm talking from no hope back to the chance of a normal life again. And only one out of the 10 came back showing a heart of gratitude. I'm postured and committing before God. I want to be the one. If there's only one out of 10, if there's only one out of 100, I want to have a heart of gratitude. I want to be the one. How do we do this? Well, what I want to do in the next few minutes is show you 3 statements that will help you choose gratitude. 3 statements that I believe all of us can adopt and put into our heart that will help us to choose gratitude. The first one, if you're taking notes, is this. We're going to say and declare, "I know every good thing I have comes from God. Every good thing I have comes from God. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 17, James tells us this very thing. He says, every good and perfect gift is from where? Every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. In fact, my dad models this as well as anybody I know. My mom and dad teach me so much. I love the way my mom encourages, and that's what we're going to talk about next week, encouragement. And I love the way my dad has the greatest heart of gratitude of anybody that I know. In fact, for a long time, dad was a little bit annoying to me because I would always ask him, Dad, how are you doing? Dad, how are you doing? And dad would always say, life is good. Life is good. Life is good. And oftentimes I'd say, but dad, right now your life doesn't seem so good. For example, the reality is he had a very significant stroke, a life-threatening stroke. And on the other side of this stroke, he was kind of struggling to make his comeback. And I'd say, Dad, how are you feeling today? Life is good. Like, Dad, for a long time, he actually had some complications to his health after the stroke. And every time I talked to him, son, life is good. Life is good. I told you before that, my dad played minor league pro baseball, and so he really has a hard time communicating anything unless it's in baseball lingo. For example, whenever I'm preaching on the weekend, he says, son, keep him low and on the inside, okay? Throw that slider. If I preach what he thinks is a good message, he said, that ball's still sailing. He got saved later on in life, and he says, son, I'm like the sinner on the cross. I was safe under the tag. I'm safe under the tag. And so I said, Dad, I'm asking you how you're doing, and you're not doing great, and yet you say life is good. And he said, well, son, you got to understand, when you've been forgiven of everything that I've been forgiven of, and you've got a chance to reengage the way I have, and you can make a difference more in the later years of your life than ever before. And then he said, and son, I cheated death. The way I see it is I'm living in extra innings right now. Life is good. My life is good. And he recognizes that what he has is a gift from God. And we need to understand that every good thing we have actually comes from our God. Now, you may say, well, but I worked for this and I earned this. And there may be some truth to the fact that you actually were a good steward of what God gave you. But you have to understand that every place where you succeed, you're succeeding with a gift that God gave you. God is the giver of all good things. In fact, when you just look at scripture and you run through a list of what people were able to accomplish and what they had, God was always the author and giver of everything they had. Think about Noah. God gave Noah a plan for the ark, the ability to build, therefore he saved his family. God gave the Israelites bread from heaven in the morning, and he gave them fire by night. God gave David a stone to kill Goliath, and he gave Jonah a fish to swallow him up and take him safely to the shore. God gave a young teenage girl, Mary, the faith to say yes and give birth to the Savior of the world. God gave the wise men a star to lead them. God gave us the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion and the Lamb, the Savior of the world. God gives you a supernatural peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand. God gives us his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to convict us, to guide us, and to counsel us. God gives you his word to direct you. He gives you health to bless you. He gives you friends to love you, and he gives you a life for you to use to glorify him. Every good thing we have comes from God. We need to understand that God is completely good. He is constantly good. He is unchangingly good. God will never be not good. God cannot be less than good. Everything our God does is good. And when we embrace this, that everything that we have is a gift from God, it changes our attitude. Instead of an attitude of entitlement, we embrace an attitude of gratitude, which overflows into other positive attributes in our lives. Three statements that will help you choose gratitude. And you may put these on your mirror and lipstick in your bathroom. You may put them, by your mirror on your car. You may put them on your computer screen. Number one, say it with me. I know Every good thing I have comes from God. Number two, if you're taking notes, this is powerful. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. Say that with me, all of our churches. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. I don't know what you want, but I know a lot of people want a better car, want a different house, want to be able to travel, want some different clothes, want some granite countertop because your food doesn't taste good on that old laminate thing. You know, give me granite. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. I wish I were there. I wish I had this, and on and on and on. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 6:9, Solomon said, better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. Better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. Think about it. Better what you have than what you want. Better what is in front of you than that which you're longing for. It's better to embrace what God has given you than to always want something more. It's better. It's better. What you have is better than longing for something else to make you happy. Whenever we adopt an attitude of gratitude, gratitude turns whatever we have into enough. Oh, that's so good, I'm gonna say it again and somebody's gonna get it. What gratitude does is it turns whatever we have into enough. Better is what we have than a roving of the appetites wanting something more. Gratitude turns what is before us into enough, and we recognize its blessings. What's crazy to think about is it's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. I want to say it again. That needs to soak in, okay? It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. Because better is what I have before me. Better what the eye sees than a roving of the appetite. So I'm not going to let what I want rob me of all the blessings that I already have. Think about, what do you have, okay? Just the normal person at our church today, most all of you will probably have, if you want it, 3 meals a day, some of you 4, some of you 5, and you should keep it at 3, okay? You know, you all have enough to eat. Most everybody here can go out and pay someone else at least some time to serve them food. Almost everybody here, you've got a bed to sleep in, you've got clothes to wear. Most of you, you've got more than one pair of shoes when most people in the world don't even have that. You've got shoes, some of you, to wear to work, some to wear to church, some to mow your yard in. I mean, we're talking dedicated shoes to mow your yard in. Some of you have house shoes. They're just for indoors, and outdoor shoes and high heel shoes. And some of you got high heel shoes. And you know, you got shoes galore all over the place. Most of you have a car to drive or at least a bus to take a ride in. Those of you who have a job, you're extraordinarily blessed. If you make minimum wage, you're making approximately 32 times the average wage of half the people alive today. And yet we're incredibly miserable, wanting more, more, more. Most of you have a phone that does things more than just talks. You can like FaceTime your friend. You can send signal up into heavens and it comes back down, and by the push of a button, a pizza shows up at your door. And most of you are so blessed, you actually upgrade things that are working. I mean, it's working, but there's a newer, better working thing. So you take your working thing and upgrade it with a better working thing. That's how incredibly blessed we are. Most of you, you have your health right now. I mean, you're healthy without a lot of pain. Most of you have traveled somewhere in the last year or so. Most of you have great friends around you. And yet so many of us are so dissatisfied. Here's what you need to do every now and then. Just go to another part of the world, a developing nation. Go there and look at people who don't have anything that I just mentioned. And feel sad for them for a little while. Until you get around those Jesus-loving people who have nothing, and suddenly you look at them and they seem to have something you don't have. They've got time with their kids. They've got spiritual hope. They've got this peace that's way different than anything we have. And suddenly, instead of feeling sorry for them, you're feeling sorry for yourself. because you have so much and yet you have so little. And they have so little and yet they have so much. Gratitude turns what you have into enough. It's not happy people that are grateful. It's grateful people that are happy. I will recognize every good gift I have comes from God. I will not let what I want rob me from what I have. In fact, Paul said this in Philippians 4, so powerful. He said, "For I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances." That's a powerful statement. He says, "I know what it is to be in need," and he really, really did, "and I know what it is to have plenty." Some of you have been in both those camps. He said, "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." He said, "Here's the secret. You want to know the secret? I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength." Listen to me. He got to a place where Christ was all that he had, okay? Until Christ is all that you have, you may not ever know that Christ is all you need. When you get to that place, suddenly what you have is a tremendous blessing. And when you have Christ, I can do all things through Christ, whether I have a lot or little. He is what matters. He is what satisfies me. He is what I need. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose gratitude. In a world that's very negative, people feel entitled. I want more. I want better. I want faster. I'm going to choose gratitude. Every good thing I have is a gift from my God. I will not let what I want rob me from the blessings of what I have. And number three, if you're taking notes, I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. Let's all say this, all of our churches, everybody, what are we gonna do? We'll turn every blessing we have into praise. We're gonna turn every blessing that God has given us back into an act of worship before him. Why? Because somebody said that every time we don't turn a blessing back into praise, it turns into pride. Let me say it again. Whenever we don't turn a blessing back into praise, it turns into pride. I deserve that. I earned that. I deserve that. I earned that. I should have more. I went to church. God should give me more. God should give me better. I'm a better person than all of them. I deserve more. Every time we don't turn a blessing back into praise, it turns into pride. In fact, I love what David said in Psalm 63, verses 4 and 5. He said to God, he said, "I will do what?" He said, "I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands." He said, this phrase is so powerful. "I will be fully satisfied, God, because of your goodness. I'm not wanting anything else. I'm fully satisfied as with the richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I will praise you as long as I live." I'll turn every blessing I have back into praise. How do we become thankful and praise God? I'll give you a little exercise. I'll set it up with a story and then give you the exercise. Amy and I were blessed to take our kids to Florida for a week of vacation. I was very excited about it. We were on the part of the coast where you can't really swim because there's rocks everywhere, but we didn't care. It was the beach. We got there, and the first day, it rained. Second day, it rained. Third day, it rained. Fourth day, I did not cuss, but I might have thought a bad word. It rained again, you know, and like, Fifth day, there was like enough break in the rain that we went outside and like, you know, and the weather was still bad. It was so windy and stuff flying everywhere and the kids couldn't hardly get out there. My fifth child, his name is Steven, but his brother called him Booby when he was born, which was unacceptable. So he changed it to Buki. He goes by Buki. Buki was, you know, this big or so. And we're like, "Don't go out deep in the water," because you couldn't see and there were rocks everywhere. And Buki was kind of out there deep. And you know, there's two of us with six little kids in this dangerous place. So the whole time we're kind of doing this. Here's two, there's three. And all of a sudden we looked up and Buki was gone, nowhere to be found. Like, where's Buki? I'm telling you, my heart sank faster than you can imagine. And sheer panic set in. We're screaming. There are other people coming to look. I mean, we're in the water, and it went from a kind of a bad weather day to like it feels like life is about to be over. Where is Buki? Well, a couple seconds later, Buki comes over the sand dune, pulling his little pants up. Okay, evidently Buki had to do a dookie, and I just said that in church. And he didn't tell anybody, he just went and took care of some business, right? And so he's coming back in there, all of a sudden, man, this the day that was just like, you know, the worst thing ever became the best day ever. Let it rain every day the rest of my life. My son and my children are all here, and we're okay. And then I'm telling you, it was like the God, thank you, 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 thank you. And the only thing that changed was my perspective. The only thing that changed was my perspective. Here's the exercise. I want all of you to do this, okay? Think of something that you have and pretend like you just lost it. Let me help you. Your job, okay? You just heard you're losing your job. You are now unemployed, okay? Your health, bad news for you. You have stage 4 cancer, okay? Someone that you love, your mom, your best friend, okay? I hate to tell you this, but they were killed in a tragic car accident, okay? You're never gonna see them again. Pick something like that, okay? Something, pretend like you lost it. Okay, now, pretend like you just got it back. Okay? I didn't lose my job. I didn't like my job that much anyway, but I got my job back, okay? Okay, I don't have cancer. I've got life, I can live. Okay, my mom didn't die, my best friend didn't die, it was a mistake, they're still alive. Okay, I'm so thankful, so thankful. You know, don't miss the power of this, okay? Take something like that, a bunch of things like that, that you take for granted every single day, okay? Every single day. And pretend like you just lost it, okay? Then pretend like you got it back. And what do? Suddenly, you start thanking God for what you already have because you have so much to be thankful for. God, I thank you for my health. I thank you for my friends. I thank you that I have a place to worship. God, I thank you for my small group. I thank you for my jalopy car that barely gets me there, but it runs. And so when you do this, all of a sudden, you instead of saying, I'm tired of my car, you say, God, I thank you for my car. Yeah, I'm tired. My house is always a wreck. God, thank you that I've got kids and a spouse and the blessings that make my house always a wreck. I'm always so busy. How you doing? Busy. How you doing? Busy? Busy? I'm thankful I've got a job and I've got friends and places to be and people to help and children to take around. I am thankful that I've got all these opportunities to be busy. My house is so small. God, I'm thankful I've got a roof over my head and something that cools me on the inside. I don't like this stupid job. God, thank you I've got a job. Oh, parking's bad at church today. Church is getting too big. Thank you, God, that we're at a place where hundreds of people come to Christ every single week and you change your perspective. So when the rest of the world wants to tear everything down and this isn't good enough and blah, 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 the world's going to hell in a handbasket and that was bad customer service and this isn't any good, we're gonna stay positive because we have a really, really good God and we recognize that every good thing we have comes from God above. And we will never let what we want rob us of the blessings that we already have because better is what the eyes see than a roving of the appetite. And we will turn every blessing that we have back in praise to our good God because he is worthy of our praise. And this is exactly what David did in Psalm 103, verses 2-5. And I hope this becomes the cry of your heart. David said, let all that I am. Everybody say, all that I am. He says, let all that I am from the depths of my heart and soul, my mind, heart, body, soul, and strength, let all that I am, say it, praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. What does he do? My God fills my life with good things. Therefore, I will not wait to be happy to be grateful. I'm going to be grateful and therefore I am happy because my God gives good things to all of his children. And I will never let what I want rob me of what I already have because I've got blessing upon blessing upon blessing and I will turn those blessings back into praise, because every blessing I don't turn into praise turns into pride. And I have nothing to be proud of. All I am is one who's been forgiven. And because of that, I will let all that I am praise my God, because he is that good. All of our churches praying, Father, we ask that you would do a healing work in our hearts. Transform us, God, to be full of gratitude, that we would be the one who returns to say thank you for all that you've done for us. All of our churches, as you're reflecting in an attitude of prayer, many of you are going to say right now, yes, I want to be more grateful. I want a heart of gratitude. You may just take those three statements. You may put them somewhere and read them every single day. God, for these reasons, I am grateful. To all of our churches, if you say, yes, I'm sick and tired of all the negativity. I've even been sick and tired of my own negativity. And I'm choosing by faith to stay positive. I will be grateful. If the other nine are not, I want to come back and praise my God. God, give me an attitude of gratitude. Give me a heart of praise. If that's you, would you lift up your hands right now? All of our churches, God is speaking to you about this fantastic. God, thank you so much for people at churches all over the world that are saying yes to a heart of gratitude. God, may we see the enormous blessings that we have. Never live with an entitled heart, but turn these blessings back into praise to you, God, because you are good. In our discussion groups, God, we pray that we would be overwhelmed with gratitude, that our hearts would turn toward you in worship, and together we would lift up your name, God, because you have given us far more than we could ever earn, and certainly more than we ever deserve. God, help us to see your goodness and give you praise for every good thing in our lives. As you keep praying today at all of our churches, nobody looking around, I know a lot of you right now are going, well, you know, I don't really have that kind of gratitude toward God. And if that's you right now, there may be a couple of reasons as to why. One of the reasons is because maybe perhaps you've never truly understood what God has done for you. In fact, all of us right now, when you think about what we deserve, a lot of people say, well, I deserve this, I deserve that. The reality is that Scripture teaches that we don't deserve anything good. The truth is, all of us, that includes you and that includes me, all of us have sinned and we fall very, very, very far short of God's standards. Our sin separates us from God. You ready to be grateful? Here's the amazing news, that we can be made right with God, not by our own works, not by our own religious activities, not by trying to be good enough, but the only way that we're truly made right with God is not by our works, but by his grace. This is why we praise God, because God did something for us that we could never do for ourselves and we couldn't earn. He became one of us in the person of his son, Jesus, who was without sin, died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised from the dead, so that anyone, and this includes you, who calls on his name would be saved, transformed, and forgiven. Listen to me, there are those of you, you're about to become incredibly grateful because our God is about to invade your life with his love, a love that none of us deserves, but a love that he freely gives. At all of our churches, those of you who say, I want that love, I need his forgiveness, I need his grace. Today, I simply trust in him and I give my whole life to him. When you experience the goodness of God, salvation from him, you'll be overwhelmed with gratitude because he gives us what we do not deserve. All of our churches, you say, yes, I want to trust him. Yes, I want to give my life to him. Yes, Jesus, would you save me? Today by faith, I trust you. That's your prayer. Would you lift your hands high right now, all of our churches, and say, yes, Jesus, I surrender to you. As we've got hands going up at churches all over, those of you at church online, you feel free to click right below me. I'm going to ask all of you to just join your voices and pray with those around you. Just pray aloud. Pray, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all of my sins. Make me brand new. I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again so I could live for you. Fill me with your spirit so I could know you and serve you and follow you. My life is not my own. God, I give it to you. I worship you and thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. At all of our churches, would you worship big today? Welcome those born into God's family.